This morning I would ask for you to go back into the history of the Old Testament, back to the history of the Israelites. This is that point in the book of Deuteronomy where Moses is standing up in front of the community and giving his last addresses. You know, the Israelites have been wandering around in the wilderness for some 40 years. Moses had been the one to lead them out of Egypt. Moses had shared with them God's plan of a promised land, of going back to that land that God had given to Abraham, Sarah, and their descendants. But because of the famine in the land and because of various situations during the time of Joseph, they had ended up slaves in Egypt. But Moses now was leading them out, and they were having a new vision, a new direction. And here, this is where that vision finally is able to reach its fulfillment. But as you know, a number of the people who began that journey were not there here at the end of it. And we'll be talking more about that. But here, Moses offering guidance to the Israelites as they are about to move into the promised land. The first passage is from chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. "You must carefully observe every command I give you this day, so that you may live and increase in numbers and enter and occupy the land which the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember the whole way by which the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble and test you and to discover whether or not it was in your heart to keep his commandments. So he afflicted you with hunger and then fed you on manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known before, to teach you that people cannot live on bread alone, but that they live on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The clothes on your backs did not wear out, nor did your feet blister all these 40 years. Take to heart this lesson, that the Lord your God was disciplining you as a father disciplines his child. Keep the commandments of the Lord your God, conforming to his ways and fearing him." So that advice, looking toward the past and how the past was affecting the present. In chapter 13, we pick up with verse 1. And here Moses is spending a little bit of time projecting toward the future and asking them to prepare for the future. Chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. "Should a prophet or a peddler of dreams appear among you and offer you a sign or a potent and call on you to go after other gods whom you have not known and to worship them, even if the sign or portent should come true, do not heed the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to discover whether you love him with all your heart and soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must fear. You must keep his commandments and obey him, serve him, and hold fast to him." Then also, Joshua chapter 14. We are jumping just a few more years down the line. The transition has happened. The leadership has passed from Moses to Joshua. But at this time, I want to focus on one of those individuals who survived that 40 years in the wilderness. And those of you who know this story know the name Caleb. And this is an interesting part. We know Caleb being the faithful spy. But what do we know about this passage in Joshua, about the fulfillment of his faithfulness? So this is Joshua chapter 14, beginning with verse 6. The tribe of Judah had come to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from there to survey the land, and I brought back an honest report. The others who went up with me discouraged the people, but I loyally carried out the purpose of the Lord my God. Moses swore an oath that day. The land on which you have set foot, he said, is to be your holding and your sons after you as a possession forever, for you have loyally carried out the purpose of the Lord my God. Well, the Lord has spared my life as he promised. It is 45 years since he made this promise to Moses, at the time when Israel was journeying in the wilderness. Now here I am at 85, still as strong as I was on the day when Moses sent me out. I am as fit now for war as I was then, and am ready to take the field again. Give me today this hill country, which the Lord then promised me. You yourself heard on that day that the Anakim were there, and their towns were large and fortified. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as he promised." And Joshua blessed Caleb. About 20 years ago, and I've sort of lost touch when this actually happened, on television shows around the United States, supposedly we were introduced to a new genre of television, one that has come to dominate in a number of ways. And perhaps you know the term so-called reality television. There are different forms of it, obviously. Many of them are competitions. We think about Survivor. We think about Amazing Race. We think about all those that have all these tests involved in them. And we as viewers sit comfortably on our couches and our chairs saying, "Oh, I would have seen that twist coming. I would have known what that test was about." One of the more interesting ones, at least in terms of being different or an oddity in and of itself, was the one that didn't last too long. It's been several years ago. This was back when Stan Lee was alive. Stan Lee, if that name doesn't ring a bell to you, was one of the pioneers behind Marvel Comics and all the superhero movies that we have that have the Marvel imprint on them, largely from his legacy and the writers and artists that work with him. But he had hatched this idea of a reality television show. So you want to be a superhero. Okay. I only watched the first one, so I want to let you know that. It was an oddity seeing all these adults, and these were adults, these were not teenagers, these were not children, these were adults dressed up in spandex, announcing who they were and what powers they had. And they wanted to impress the people who heard their stories. So we had the introduction of the characters, and then Stan Lee started to describe to them the first challenge that they would have to complete on this path toward being declared a superhero. And the prize was whoever survived all these challenges, that character would get turned into a comic book hero. So they had that dream out there, and the first test was in a city, and they were asked to travel from one side to the other, and they were filled with these images of being powerful, and they needed to show that they were the most powerful in their community. And so they thought, okay, I'm going to get from this side of the city over to that side, and I'm going to show how fast I am, how strong I am. And they, contestant after contestant, reached the finish line. And then there was a pause. And then finally the last one arrived. And everyone looked over at him and they were sneering at him, saying, "Well, I've been here for 5 minutes ahead of you." And then Stanley pulled out the twist. He said, "You thought this city was filled with obstacles to prevent you from getting here quickly. But there was somebody that you ran past in the city who kept saying, 'Can you help me?' And contestant after contestant ran by him. But this last one, he stopped and he helped that man. And then he continued on his journey." And of course, Stan Lee at that point starts then lecturing them on what heroism is about and the need to think about others. But despite where that show went, that lesson sort of stuck with me. And I knew at that point that life often throws us situations where we think we know what's going on. We think we know what we need to do, and we rush through the city to get to the other side. But God is calling us to pause and to look at the needs that are around us and to address those needs. There are certain passages in the Bible that would come to the front that would help to show that this idea is an idea that Christians support. It's an idea that we understand as part of our ministry in the world that Christ is calling us to. But here, I look toward the words of Moses as he's standing with his community on the edge, on the fulfillment of prophecies that have been there for generations by this point. And what could Moses say to them? If we remember what he says, he first asked them to look back, to remember what's gone before. We remember, obviously, when the Israelites come out of Egypt, one of the things that really stands out to us is coming to Mount Sinai. Moses goes up to receive the Ten Commandments. And while he's up there, what do the people gathered around the base of the mountain do? They start saying, "Well, Moses abandoned us. He left us out here in the wilderness to fend for ourselves. So we need to find a new leader. We need to find a new cause. We need to find a new vision. So let's look back to Egypt. Egypt was so powerful, they enslaved us. Why don't we adopt some of their practices? Let's fashion for ourselves a golden calf and get Aaron to orchestrate that for us." So, a distinct failure for the Israelite community, Moses coming down off the mountain, throwing the first set of Ten Commandments down, breaking them, as a dramatic sign of their disobedience. They failed that test. But then as they wander around in the wilderness after that point, after they've received the Ten Commandments, after they've been reprimanded for that unfaithfulness, the text tells us they continue to grumble. They continue to say, "Oh, we had it better back in Egypt." And throughout this, Moses pleading for the Israelites, and then God providing for their needs, sending them manna. And here, on the edge of the promised land, Moses reminding them, "You were in need, and God met those needs." But then came Kadesh Barnea, that time when they paused at this oasis in the wilderness. They sent the spies up into the promised land. Here was the possibility to find fulfillment, to find the answers that Moses had been promising them. They choose their spies. They send the spies into the land. But there are giants in the land. There are obstacles there. This is not going to be easy. They can't just walk in and take the land flowing of milk and honey. Or can they? Caleb certainly thinks they can, if God is on their side. If this is God's vision for them, if this is part of the covenant and the promises. But Caleb is the only voice. And then, of course, Joshua involved in this. But all the other spies, some 10 spies that say, no, we can't do it. They fail that test. And that is the clincher. God says, now you're going to wander for 40 years. And you're going to die off. All except for Caleb and Joshua. And we see in this now Moses standing at the edge of the promised land, asking the Israelites to remember this history. You might ask yourself, why would they want to remember that history? Here now we have the children of that generation looking back at their parents and seeing their parents' mistakes. But here Moses telling them, you can fail. You need to keep your eyes open. This was a test to see if you were truly motivated to following God's plan. So that's where he begins. Look back. See your failures. Understand that those failures are not something you need to sweep under the rug, put into the closet, forget about. You need to tell those stories. You need to remember why you failed those tests. So that then, in that next chapter, Moses says, let's look to the future. You're moving into this land, but there's a people already there, people that have their own religious practices. And those practices are going to look seductive. Just like you kept looking back to the religious practices in Egypt, now you're going to be looking at these other peoples and their religions and their gods and goddesses, and you're going to say, well, they look like they're prosperous. Why don't I try out that god or goddess for a while? And Moses is saying, do not listen. Do not listen to that false prophet, that dreamer of dreams, that seductive voice. It will lead you astray. Instead, stay devoted to the Lord who has led you into this land. The Lord who has given you the vision that you are fulfilling. Remember why you are there and what you are doing and to whom you owe everything. And so, if we today pick up these passages and look at them, we look at our own world around us and we realize that we live in a complicated time. And even in this congregation, we might be talking about people who are at different points. There may be people in our congregation and in our community and certainly across the state and the nation who are in a time that feels like wandering in the wilderness, where you feel like you've been given a vision, but you haven't gotten there. And you wonder what is going to happen. And you start grumbling. You start complaining, because it's a natural human thing to do. It's not going well. It's not easy. I've got to work at this. But then we pause and we ask ourselves, well, is this a test? Is this a time for God to find out if we truly are motivated to be His child, to be a disciple of Christ, to be in the community of the church, in the community of the Holy Spirit as we celebrate on Pentecost Sunday? Yet at this time, There are also those in our community and across our nation who are blessed. We've seen a number of people who have lost their jobs during this time. But then we've seen interviews and we've heard surveys about people who say, well, I don't feel like I've been affected by any of this. And we think about a time of prosperity. And we think about all the resources that are around us. And we ask ourselves, are we using those resources to help those who are around us? And are we thinking about our community? And are we looking for ways to share what we have with others? Or are we so lost in the seductive voices of our society that say, life is the pursuit of happiness. Life is about finding what makes us feel good instead of living up the responsibilities that God has given to us. And so as we meditate on those things, as you as individuals look at your own life and try to figure out, are you like the Israelites wandering in the wilderness? Or are you more like those who have already moved into the promised land and have settled there? And throughout all of this, we remember the example of Caleb. And that passage there in Joshua, I saw a number of you smiling at it. Can you imagine what Caleb had to go through? Caleb, who had shared in the vision that Moses and Joshua had been preaching to the community. Caleb, who had been there at Kadesh Barnea, one of the spies, the one who had gone and seen the land and the opportunities there. And he knew for a fact, he had seen it, what God had in store for them. But then he came back. And he saw his brothers and sisters grumble and naysay and turn away from God's plan. And then for decades, 4 decades, he had to endure the repercussions of that event. Holding on to the promise that God would be faithful, that God had pledged to be faithful to him. And then can you imagine being 85? 85. And finally being able to fulfill the vision. But did you hear closely? Did you listen closely to what Caleb says? The obstacles have not been removed. They are still there. He says, the giants are still in the land, and I know that I'm going to have to go fight them. But I still believe that God will help me face the opposition to bring this vision to pass. And so today, as a church community, as individual Christians, as believers, ask yourself, what vision has God given you? There are going to be obstacles. And the race is not to the strong and to the ones who zip across the city. But the race is to those who listen to God's Spirit, who follow in the steps of Jesus, who minister to those who are around them, who in times of need remind themselves of God's providence, of how God is accompanying them through the trials and the tests, testing their hearts and celebrating in those moments, confessing our sins, but also celebrating in those moments, feeling God's presence, but also a time when there's bounty, when there are resources around us, to celebrate the opportunity to be Christ's hands and feet, sharing that bounty with those around us and meeting the needs of those in the world, those who are crying out for help, those who are asking for our aid. May we be there faithfully listening to God's Spirit. We come now to a time of invitation and a commitment, a time for you to respond. If you are feeling Christ calling you to be His disciple, if you feel the Spirit of God tugging at your heart, this is an opportunity for you to make that commitment. This church will pray for you and encourage you as you seek the path of discipleship to become a Christian. If you've already made that commitment, ask yourself, are you standing on the cusp of a promised land, of a vision that God has for you? And are you listening to the voice that will help you fulfill it? These are the things that we contemplate and we pray about as we sing our final hymn.